cry.
Oh, hear my cry, oh Lord. Attend unto my prayer.
Oh, from the ends
of the earth will I cry unto thee.
Oh,
when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I.
For thou hast been born.
For thou hast been a shelter for me.
And a strong tower.
And a strong tower again.
Oh!
Country, Lord. Father, we say, have your way. We say, have your way, Father God, in every detail of our lives. Hallelujah. Coming together, just coming soft. Hallelujah.
Have your way.
Thank you. Your way. You know the right way. When we do things in our own strength and ability, we fail. Yeah. We go in the wrong direction. We endanger ourselves. But we know, God, that your will is right. It is perfect. So, Father, help us. Recalibrate our lives, that in all things you be the Most High, the Most High God, Lord over our spirits, souls, and bodies, Lord over our families, Lord over all that pertains to us, Lord over our community, Lord over our provinces, our states, our country, our world. We declare that all things bow to the authority of your name. And we say, Father, have your way. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that heaven and the atmosphere of heaven reigns in our lives, in our homes, in our church. Be exalted, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Welcome to our study tonight. We are in the book of Proverbs. I believe we are in the 9th chapter. I think we must have finished chapter 8 last week. So we'll be continuing with chapter 9. And right from the bat, we find a very interesting verse. It says, "Wisdom hath built her house." She had hewn out her 7 pillars. Our question then is, what are these 7 pillars that the Word of God is addressing here? You already know these 7 pillars, because in one form or the other, we've addressed it right from the very beginning of chapter 1 up till this very moment. To make it a little bit easier for you, what 3 or 4 things do you remember that are key words in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, honor, discretion. Okay, yeah, we can go with that. Okay, honor. What else? Okay, we can work with that. Discernment, okay, we can work with that. What about the fear of God? Do you remember that? We've been talking about the fear of God. Okay, so that's five. What else is the Word of God say over and over again as we've been coming through these chapters? And obedience is an overarching word, but it will be joined with the word honor in this particular case. Discernment, that will be joined up with wisdom. Discretion, instruction, okay. That ties with obedience. Well, it has been in there as one of the pillars. When you talk about in chapter 3, it talks about acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways and He will direct your path. And then it talks about it shall be what? Health. Okay. Huh? Well. Okay. Go to Proverbs 3. Let's read it from 6, 7, 8. Those are all good. Acknowledging that has to do with, go to 7. Go to 8. Go to 9. Now that theme you're going to see right through about the increase of God or riches, wealth, riches. It's all going to be right through. In fact, when you consider chapter 7 and chapter 8, it's always pointing to that. It's pointing to the wealth that comes about because you're obedient to God and His Word, and the poverty that comes because of depravity. You will lose everything. Okay? Now, in addressing that, let's look at Romans 12, verse 6 to 8. Actually, before we go to Romans, let's look at Isaiah 11, verse 2 and 3. Isaiah 11, verse 2 and 3. Every Sunday morning you hear Mama praying that prayer, right? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of what? Wisdom, understanding. The Spirit of what? Counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Okay? Right there, the Word of God spells it out about the Spirit of God. And it again lists those issues. Now, in the New Testament, referencing the gifts of the Spirit, the same thing is happening. He says, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Again, it lists seven things. This seven is a number of completion, right? It's a number of completion. So when the Word of God talks about these pillars, it's engaging particular things that help us mature in the things of God. In the New Testament, it talks about it as manifestations of giftings. Seven key factors of giftings that need to flow through the people of God. Now let's go back on this one and look at verse 7 again and see what God is trying to say to us about our effectiveness. He says, of ministry, let us wait on our what? Ministry. Wait on it. Or he that teacheth on teaching. And the idea is an idea of focus. I was at my barber shop the other day, two or so days ago, having a haircut. And there was two gentlemen that came into the barber shop. And the Lord began to speak to me about them. So I started talking to them about their lives and addressing different things and prayed for this gentleman who just, he was just brand new in the country. He just come some 4 days before. And here I'm speaking to him about his life and what God is going to do with his life. And so this other guy was deeply encouraged. He said, thank you so very much for praying that prayer. I know it wasn't for me, but thank you for praying for him and ministering to him. So while he was saying that, the Lord zoomed on him. So I started talking to him about his life and about his calling and what God was going to do in his life and the kind of ministry God was going to use him in, and that he was at the infant stage of that calling. And I said to him, I said, does this all make sense to you? He said, yes. At this time, I don't know their names. I don't know anything about them. I'm just talking to them. But I'm telling this guy that I've never met, you have a deliverance ministry. That's the main focus of your ministry. And it's still in the infant stage, and this is what's happening, and how it's going to come to its fullness is through you being grounded and rooted in the Word of God, because you're gonna deal with stuff, and you cannot deal with it in your ability or with your mindset. It has to be easy for you. and you have to be in the right place. And he tells me, I'm a pastor. I said, yeah? How long have you been in this country? He says, I've been here for 8 months. Anything I told you makes sense to you? He says, absolutely. He said, this is an area in my life. And it's true, it's still in the very infant stage. Now and then I'll dabble with it. I stumble through it. But I know this is an area that God wants to use me at. So, okay. Then get the word of God into your life. But remember, this is a focal point of your calling. This is the main gift. You've got to wait on it. You've got to work at it. Not work in your own ability, that kind of a work, but a work of trusting God to use you in this particular area. So Paul writing says, if God has called you to do ministry, to serve, do it. Focus on it. If God calls you to teach, focus on it. Be the best at it. And then it lists now in verse 8 how in the other giftings, or he that exhorted on exhortation. That's a ministry. You know, when other people are busy banging at people, you come there and you exhort. You bring them into line. He that giveth, giving is a particular gifting. Yeah. So that's why if God has called you to be a giver, you don't watch other people and see what they are giving. Who cares what they're giving? You be the one that is hearing from God and do it with simplicity, not arrogantly. Slide it in there. Maybe nobody knows that you're the one who gave it, but you're doing your thing. He that ruleth or is a leader, do it diligently. That's your assignment. Don't look at people's faces, whether they're going to like what you're going to do or say. Just do the right thing. Be diligent, be faithful at leading. He that showeth mercy, show mercy with cheerfulness. Amen? So these are different aspects. 7 here, 7 in Isaiah, and 7 that we can trace right through the book of Proverbs. And wisdom is saying, I have built. In fact, I think it's Proverbs 21, I think, where it says that we need to build with wisdom and fill the treasures, the house, through knowledge, something like that. Let me see if I can find a particular verse. And Proverbs 21, let me see. 24, thank you. Through wisdom is an house built. Through wisdom is an house built. And by understanding, it is established. It's not just the building it, it is the establishing of it. So that the legacy continues from generation to generation. And then it says in verse 4, and by knowledge shall the chambers of that house that you've built be filled with all precious and pleasant, what? Riches. So you see that the riches aspect comes into play again, and you will see it right through. Amen? Hallelujah. So, he says, you know, wisdom is built her house and had hewn out her seven pillars. Now, what do pillars do? They hold up. Yeah? Okay. So, it's saying, if you have wisdom, knowledge, understanding, if you have the fear of God, if you have the counsel of God, all of these things that we've mentioned, it says you're going to hold up things. You're going to have a shelter. You're going to have a covering, which means that the absence of these pillars in the life of a man or woman or a people spells disaster. How? Look at the next statement. She had killed her beasts. What does that connote in your mind? She had killed her beast. What do you think? I know I'm asking you a lot of questions today. Okay, sacrifices. Okay. What else? Speak out loud. Provision. Okay. All right. Yeah. But would you know that everything, if the answers that you've given is exactly the answer that has been addressed here? It's the beasts in terms of provision and all of that, but the beast in terms of the strong man is defeated. Okay? You cannot allow the beast to run amok. You got to kill it if you want safety. So he says, wisdom has killed her beast, slaughtered it, slain it. But it's also true that wisdom, this slaughtering or killing, is also a killing of sacrifice. That's the second aspect of it. And he wants us to know, hey, you want your pillars to stand? You got to deal with a strong man, or you cannot spoil his house. Or two, you got to deal with that animal that is raving in your streets, or you will not get your harvest. It's going to deter you. So whatever it is that is troubling, creating fear, because a beast will cause fear, you got to deal with it. Now, remember Paul in Malta. He'd gone through a storm. The people finally get to this land of Malta, where they were barbarians. And he brings wood and puts it, and the Bible says, out of the heat comes this serpent, this beast, and wraps itself around him, his hand. He says, Paul shook this viper off. Amen? He shook off the beast. He felt no harm. And the net result of that is that the narrative about him changes. And he wins the entire community. And from there, he gets a whole lot of provision. He was able to share with the others, but what he had from that land was enough for him to rent a house in Rome. All of his expenses were taken care of when he shook off the beast. It takes one thing to open the doors for you and I to experience the great grace of God. It goes on, it says, she had mingled her wine. In other words, she's mixed her wine. The table is prepared, it's furnished. She had sent forth her maidens, and she cried upon the highest places of the city. What is the idea here? The wisdom of God is telling us, one, we need to bind the strong man. But two, we need to have a table prepared. For whom? For the people that we want to bring into our place. You cannot be inviting people without being prepared for them. And as a church, the same is true. We want people to be saved. We want people's lives to be transformed. We've got to be ready for them. You've got to do whatever it is that you need to do to be ready. So that when they come, they are properly accommodated. So she's prepared her table, and then she sends forth her maidens, and she cried upon the highest places of the city. What is this? This is saying, listen, we're going to get the people from the highest levels and strata of society. Because when you're crying out from a high place, those beneath also get to hear you. So when we are ready, we begin to make the necessary noise. Amen? You start a business, you get it ready, and then you have an open house. Yeah? Same idea. Her maidens are the ones who are advertising. And God is saying the same thing to us. Bind the strong man. We're ready to make the sacrifice that you need to make. Get the wine of the Spirit mingled. Those are the giftings like we read from Romans, giftings of the Spirit mixing together. That's a sense of unity, oneness, flowing together. And the idea is everybody doing their thing, and the idea is when people come in, there is a place for them to sit. There is a place for them to connect. He says, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanted understanding, she said to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. There's an open invitation for everyone. Come, come. Come participate. Come experience the goodness of God. And it starts out, it says, whoso is simple, Whoso is simple, starting from that perspective, whoso is simple. It's a very interesting word here that is used for simple. Is the word for being naive, you know, just gullible. And it's saying basically, hit the gullible, hit the person who has understanding, who's asking questions. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. Now, the person who's simple, when they get into the body, they will grow in the wisdom of God. Because they're already gullible, because they're already listening to the lies of the enemy. How gullible. Today we're dealing with all kinds of issues. We're dealing with transgender issues. We're dealing with issues of identity euphoria. Now, why do you think it is that much? It's because people are gullible. This person says, this girl says, I'm a guy. And the other one says, I'm a guy too. And the other girl says, I'm a guy too. Guess what? More people will join that gang and says, me too. One person says, me, I'm not a guy, I'm a monkey. And you have another set of people who buy into that. I'm spider. And another bunch, because they're gullible. Simple in their minds. They've not been taught how to think. And that's what's happening in our society. People don't know how to think. And you cannot just throw all of those people away and say, this person doesn't know how to think. And God says, go get them. They don't know how to think already? Get them anyway. Bring them in and teach them how to think the thoughts of God. That's why I spend my time teaching the Word of God, breaking it down so that you know for yourself what the truth is. And when somebody comes with something that is not the truth, you can, no, I smell a rat here. Answer this question, answer that question. What about this? And what about that? And before you know it, their whole program falls apart. I remember many years ago, I was still living in the co-op. A JW person came to my door, two of them. I looked at them, they're so young. So I said to them, I said, you know what? I'm not going to start a discussion with you. Bring your teacher with you. Bring your teacher. Because I don't want to confuse you. Bring your teacher. So sure enough, they brought their teacher the evening. I invited them in, sat across, and they started telling me about how the Holy Spirit was a force, not a person. And I'll ask a question and they'll answer. I'll ask another question, they answer. I'll ask another question, they answer. And by the time they answered all my questions, they had tied themselves up in a knot. And I came with a hammer. Pow! Their leader is all messed up now because he too was gullible. The student that came with him, they're all messed up. You know what? I think from that day, they made a decision not to come by my door and not to come anywhere around because they might meet that guy that brought confusion to them. Well, people, you know, I hate to say it, people are gullible when they don't know God, when they don't know who they are. And the Word of God simply just states it. Simple. Easily seducible by whatever it is that they hear. You know, the Hebrew word here is a word called pity. Pity. And it's almost, it sounds like pity. He says, get them. He says, the simple turn heeder. Why will the simple turn into where you are? Because there's something that's attractive to them there. That's the hook. So basically, God's word is saying, put out the hook. Reel them in. Cook up something. Oh, there's food over there. If that's the hook, that's the hook. He says, as for him that wanted understanding, this is not a person who is simple. They want to understand. They have questions. He says, come on in. I'll show you. Come. Sit down. Eat of my bread. Drink of the wine which I've prepared or mingled. And forsake the foolish. Forsake foolishness. And live. And go in the way of understanding. So there's this spectrum. And God says, get everyone. Don't say, we don't like this kind of people in our church. No, get everyone. Because no one stays in the same state when they encounter the Lord. In a sense, we are all simple. And God is calling us to come check out his wisdom and have his understanding and experience transformation. Verse 7 says, he that reproveth his scorner getteth to himself shame. This is a very interesting one. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. Now, how are you going to know that the person is a scorner? Psalm 1 tells us who this person is like. Let's look at Psalm 1 for a moment so we identify a scorner. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, did not follow in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. Now, understand the progression here. The progression is not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, not taking information, ungodly information, and walking with it. And not standing, which is the next progression, you're walking, and all of a sudden you stop. You're standing, and you're standing in the way of sinners. You're not moving. You're discussing what sinners are discussing, and the next thing you do, you sit. Who is this person? This is the person who at one point in their lives had a sense of who God is, but allowed themselves to allow the natural systems of this world to speak into their minds. And they think now, I'm smart. They are not altogether giving way to the things of God, but they come to a place where their whole sense of purpose and sense of personhood is relating more with the sinner rather than the Word of God. So they start thinking the way sinners think. And before you know it, they're sitting down and they are busy laughing at the things of God. I used to be one of those people, simple-minded, believing the things of God. Forget that thing. If God is so good, how come the people dying in Africa and Ukraine? Well, people are not dying in Ukraine because of God. They're dying in Ukraine because of whatever Putin did. Oh, why didn't God kill Putin? Oh, now you want God to be a murderer. God should kill Putin. And if God kills every person that is bad, how long are you going to live? God is not willing that anyone perish, but that people come to repentance. God is long-suffering. Well, if God is this, and if God is that, and if God is this, and if God is that. You know, the God of this world is the devil. That's what the Bible teaches. The God of this world was originally man. Man was given the right of ownership and authority over the world. He turned it over to the devil. And even after Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross of Calvary, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that the devil was still the God of this world. He's still the one instigating evil in this world. And God does not come and override any of that, but gives you and I, who are now his representatives from another kingdom, his ambassadors in the earth, to speak with authority and to dismiss what needs to be done and accomplish the will of God in the earth. Calling, thy kingdom come and thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. In 2 Corinthians 4, he says, the God of this world has blinded. Yeah? So this is after Jesus died. If the devil was no longer the God of this world after Jesus died, then this would be a wrong statement. It says, in whom the God of this world, not the world that you are born into, had blinded the minds of them which believe not. He blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So what are we supposed to do then? We need to deal with the one who is blinding them. Are people just going to just grasp and understand what you're saying because you said it? No. The Lord says, except you bind the strong man, you cannot spoil his house. And in a sense, this world is his house. And so we need to bind the strong man so that they can see. They can see the image of God in Christ Jesus and be changed into the same image. We have been transformed into the same image. Amen? So this is our responsibility. He says, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. So what is the point? The point simply is this. Identify who you're dealing with. Remember the statement of the Lord, he that winneth souls is wise. Yeah? Okay. What ultimately that means is not just the fact that you're wise because you're winning souls, but that you need wisdom to win souls. Do you see both sides? I need wisdom to win souls. And with the wisdom I have, I win souls by the act of obedience. Not everybody is going to come to salvation the same way. Some people will get saved only if you talk to them one-on-one. That's how they're going to get saved. This person really cares about me. They took time to talk to me. I'll listen to what they have to say. Other people, the only way they're going to come to the Lord is when they are hiding in a group. And you're preaching the word, and they receive it, and they get saved, then they crowd. If you try to talk to them one-on-one, they will try to prove that they are smart. Everybody comes to the Lord in different ways. So you cannot, get caught how you think somebody's going to come to salvation. So he says, you see, wicked person, discern. Don't deal with them the same way as other people. He says, reprove not a scorner. Person who is scorning says, don't reprove him, or else he's going to hate you. So you see somebody, they dropped, and you start rebuking them. He says, don't do it. They're going to hate you because you're reminding them that they've messed up. Now, from a public setting, when it's not personal, they may accept what you have to say. They might repent. They might turn their lives to God, but you're dealing with them in person, and they become defensive. Who told you that I'm not following God? Who told you? What's that word they use? Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Okay. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying what the truth is. But you're judging me. And they will say things like, this is my truth. Oh, okay. This is your truth. You got your truth. I got my truth. He's got his truth. She's got her truth. He's got his truth. So what is truth? My truth is, I am going to smack you in the face right now. Why did you do that? It's my truth. You annoyed me. You annoyed me. Pow! Can you imagine how confused the world will be with my truth? I decide to drive on the wrong side of the street, and then you're going to come give me a ticket? For what reason? This is my truth. I decided today this is the right way to drive. No, you can't tell me that. You can't tell me I was driving on the wrong part side of the road. Why? Who told you that? Well, the law. Who made that law? You watch in the next 10 years. And you will see the craziest stuff happen in our world. It's already happening. It's already happening. The government does not know what buttons they're pushing to mess people up. We're living in a world where people are no longer willing to take responsibility for their actions. And basically the word of God says, reprove not a scorner. Just stay away from it. When they're scorning, stay away. He says, or else they're going to hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. A wise man will learn. Thank you for sharing that with me. I really appreciate it that you told me what you told me today. That was so good. Man, I really appreciate you. A wise man will say that. A scorner will hate you. Because he is not humble. He's operating in pride. Now, how are you going to be able to identify? By the discerning presence of the Spirit of God. That's how. These people are not just out there in the world, they are in the church also. We need to follow the wisdom of God. It says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. You know these people by how they are responding to instruction. Ask this person to do something, and they go and they do it well. They make a mistake, or you see them doing it the wrong way, and you correct them. Say, "Oh, thanks, really appreciate that. Show me that again. What did you do? Oh, okay. I can see that." But if they are self-absorbed, and you tell them something, okay, so you think you know better than I do, right? That's why you come in here to come show me what? Okay. And they just hate you. If you have a worker like that, know how to deal with them. If you are the employer and they're not willing to take instruction and they think they are all that, fire them. That might be the best thing you do for them. Yeah, but if I fire them, then they will not have a job. That's exactly what firing means. That's what it means. But then they will not have wages and they will not be able to eat. When they are hungry enough, they will learn how to behave themselves. They will learn. Keeping people in positions doing the wrong thing doesn't help them. Sometimes, you know, I said to somebody not too long ago, I said, you know what? I've been helping you and helping you and helping you over and over again with this, but you're still not, you're not listening. You're not listening. I am going to have to take another approach. I'm going to have to let you hit rock bottom. when you hit rock bottom, something will strike and awaken your senses. And then you would then change. But as long as I'm pampering your nonsense, I'm not loving you. I was loving you when I was trying, but now you've gone past that place. Now my actions are no longer demonstrating love. So the word of God says, God chastises those that he loves, right? Okay. You know, he's patient, he's all of that, but then comes a time he says, I love you too much to leave you this way. We got to open a new page, and this new page spells spankings. That's what it spells. First page was huggy, huggy, huggy. This page that we turn into now is bang, bang, bang. Do you get the point? Now, don't let me go. When you heard the first one, say, Lord, have mercy. And then we'll go back to huggies. Remember the prodigal son that left home and says, give me my portion. You know what I think? The reason the father gave him his stuff, he knew he was going to waste it. But as long as he kept on catering to his nonsense, he was not going to learn. So you want your stuff? You want to be a big guy now, right? Think your old man doesn't know what life is, right? Okay? Yeah, you can go. And he went and was independent. Look at me now. Look at me now. Look at me now. And he's buying stuff for everybody. When you don't know the value, you waste. Now he wastes everything and thinks that all of those nice stuff that he was doing, he was buying friends and everybody's saluting him. Hey, Captain, how are you doing? You are blah, 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 blah. They're hailing him. Now his money's finished. Let me put it this way. If you're a giver and you're giving to people, the day you are broke, the person who will announce your brokenness louder is the person that you've been helping. That makes sense? Well, look at that guy, he's broke. he's broke. I went to him and asked him for just for $10, just $10. Huh? $10. That's all I was asking him for. He could not even provide $10. The guy's nothing. Well, if he couldn't provide you $10, why are you begging for $10 if you had it? The person that is nothing will announce your nothingness. Forget that. So there are times when you just let the scorner alone. Let him scorn himself to oblivion, or scorn himself to the point where he says, how did I get here? How did I get here? I better go back. I'm going to say to my father, I'm not worthy to be your son. Just make me one of your hired servants. He didn't, the prodigal son, you know, I thank God, the day he showed me, the prodigal son did not come back because he wanted a relationship with his father. He came back because of the stuff. But his father loved him enough to take him past the stuff, to bring him to a place of relationship. And the wisdom is learning how to balance relationships, knowing when it is right to take a harvest, knowing when it's not ready. If I pluck this thing before time, the only thing I can do with it is to pickle it. I don't want pickled mangoes. I want sweet mangoes. That makes sense? Anyhow, let's stop there for now. And what God is teaching us, you know, there are pillars that hold up the structure. Use those pillars as your compass to determine what to do in every situation. Which means there are two people, I want you to hear this, two people can have done the same thing, and your response to those two people can be different. Totally different, based on what will be best for them. Same purpose, what is best for this individual. But response to getting them to that which is best for them is totally different. So for one person, you say, here, this is $10 to help you fix this problem. And to the other person, not a dime. Not a dime. And that's going to fix them. You do what will fix the problem because you love them. Love is ultimately the power key and goal. What is the best expression of love to this individual? Just do that, and it will be well. Praise the Lord. Awesome. I'll pick up from here next week, and the Lord help us all. This time, let us honor God with our expressions of givings unto Him, and thank Him for His favor unto us. Amen. Do we have anybody online? All right. I have Sister Judith. I have Brother John. Bless you, Brother John. It's good to see you. Sister Judith, Sister Sybil, and I think I saw Sister Jeanette. I don't know who that person is on the right. I don't see their face. I see their phone or keyboard or whatever that is. And there's somebody called Zoom user. Oh, Sister Jeanette. Bless you, Sister Jeanette. Good to see you. Amen, Sister Sybil, bless you. I will look forward to praying with you on Friday. And may God continue to strengthen you all and uphold you with His right hand of righteousness. His grace is sufficient. Be blessed. Good night. I had somebody here. Did he step out?